When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is John Middlecoff from 3 and Out with John Middlecoff. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
One last rank of the RBs. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia. With me today is my boy, Big Pod Energy, Andrew Erickson. And, of course, some guy who's really new to the industry. You might know him from a little show called Fantasy Football Today on CBS. It's Jamie Eisenberg. I can't believe we got him here. It's week one. It's unbelievable he even carved out an hour for us. I'm very grateful personally. And today we're going to do one last look. I know some of you still have drafts coming up tonight, tomorrow. I know some people still have drafts going on all the way up to basically kickoff. And I love you people. You're my kind of degenerates and you're our kind of people here who are doing that kind of drafting. So we're going to go through the running back tiers one last time, which will help you also not only evaluate their draft stock, but maybe also their stock for rest of season and for trades as well, just a bit. So before we kick things off, I want to welcome our guest, Jamie. I know you're also very busy with the baseball seasons and fall ball. For the boys, how are the boys doing in baseball season right now?
Boys are doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me, by the way. It's fun to talk to you guys. Boys are doing great. You know, baseball's in full swing, and it never ends. I have one baseball practice tonight, basketball practice tonight. It never stops.
But nobody's playing football. How come? Why is this? Florida's a big football place. What's going on?
My wife hears all the horror stories about, you know, this guy got hurt, that guy got concussed, and you know, she's like, baseball seems a little safer. So
I got one word for her: flag. That's what my daughter plays. Loves the flag. Also a flag football superstar, Andrew Erickson. People don't know this. We played on the East Coast team for our Fantasy Pros retreat. We are the reigning champions, Andrew Erickson, after all. I know. That's right. That's right. We don't screw around here. We put our money where our mouth is. Erickson, we can literally count the hours now to actual football. And I know yesterday we were talking about this with Derek too. We feel kind of like, okay, we just wanted to start. This is the time. We feel good about it, but we're excited about it too. And now, you know, with this first game kicking off too, and just a few hours away, basically, I mean, how does this feel now? Is it pensive? Is it excited? Like, where are you at?
I mean, my fiance just yelled at me because I was being too loud, like exclaiming the CBS football theme song just in the kitchen. You know, I was making some lunch, and you know, it's no coincidence that we're having a CBS guest on this particular podcast as well. So it was meant to be. I have those. I mean, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, they're all good theme songs are good. I saw somebody do TikTok dances now to that, which, by the way, Andrew, as our TikTok resident person, I mean, I can't believe you didn't pick that one up. I'm a little disappointed in you. All right, before we kick things off today officially for the show, I want to remind everybody we've got a giveaway going on right now. It's an autographed Jalen Hurts jersey. Thanks to our good friends at pristineauction.com. You can go enter at fantasypros.com/contest, and all you got to do is leave a nice review of the podcast or subscribe to our social media channel. So if you subscribe to Fantasy Pros YouTube channel, if you follow us on the Twitter machine, on the TikTok, on the Instagram, all over the place, they're all entries into the contest. And of course, if you leave a nice 5-star review, you're not going to get mad at you. That's another entry. There you go. So Again, do that and then go to fantasypros.com/contest to see how you can get involved in that Jalen Hurts jersey giveaway. You might have to fight Derek Brown for it. I don't know, but I'm here for it. We are just, like I said, a few days left for draft season. Jonathan Taylor still at the one, Christian McCaffrey at the 2.5 PPR, and then Austin Eckler at 3. So, Jamie, this has been kind of the hot topic, obviously, all year, which is Christian McCaffrey getting back into the good graces very quickly. Jonathan Taylor was the consensus one. McCaffrey goes first in some drafts now. Where do you stand between these two? Because Taylor certainly seems like the safer pick of the two, but there's no denying the upside of a guy like Christian McCaffrey who can have over 100 receptions a season. Obviously, that's something we've seen him do in the past at that position. So where do you lay in terms of the 1 and 2 pick?
If it's full PPR, I think it's a little closer with McCaffrey. If it's half PPR and non-PPR, I think it's a little bit more of a lean toward Taylor. And that's where I come out on it. You know, I think you mentioned it. You know, you hate to draft scared and say, you know, Taylor is the safer of the two, and that's why you're taking somebody over somebody else. But I think you just look at, you know, it's not like he's safe because he's, you know, just going to be in a bubble wrap and not be any good. You know, I mean, he's got an amazing offensive line. I think the coach and the quarterback are going to be fantastic for him. Love the setup for Matt Ryan coming in there, you know, and we keep, at least, I, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like we keep saying, you know, it's Naeem Hines is going to have this amazing role in the passing game. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch how that, you know, all works together with those two guys. I think Jonathan Taylor's still going to be probably 35 catches, you know, and not be something that's just, you know, goes away because of Naeem Hines' role maybe changing. So I think Taylor in half and non-PPR safer, better, and McCaffrey in full PPR is the better bet.
And in standard, is it the same thing, or does the Christian McCaffrey enormous yardage potential overwhelm you with that potential as well?
For non-PPR league?
For standard, yeah, for the non, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. You know, with, I mean, anything that rewards catches, you know, he's going to benefit. So, you know, kind of you're splitting it with you know, half PPR in my mind. Okay. Taylor's got 2,000 total yard potential and 20 touchdowns. You know, it's not like he's bad. You know,
he's good.
He's going to be great. It's not like Taylor's going to be bad.
He is certainly good. Everyone knows that if it's PPR, I'm just going to go right to Justin Jefferson if Taylor's off the board or even the one because I just don't care anymore. But Andrew, I know you care about this too. You've had a lot of time to ruminate on this question. Where do you stand on the Taylor McCaffrey? Because I know a lot of people continue to think about this and try to figure out for themselves. So help them out here. How do you disseminate between the two?
It's the same thing that happens whenever we have a consensus number one overall pick early on. We nitpick, we find flaws in them, and then, you know, we should have just been like, oh, we were right the entire time. I still think that Jonathan Taylor is still the number one overall pick. And, you know, we talk about, I mean, go on Twitter, anywhere, you can find the McCaffrey splits of, you know, his 10 healthy games in the last 2 years, you know, north of 27 fantasy points per game in terms of PPR. Okay, so let's look at Jonathan Taylor's last 13 games. So, if we're going to split sample sizes, I'm going to pick Jonathan Taylor's last 13 games, you know, once he started scoring touchdowns, because he wasn't scoring at the beginning of last season. He was averaging 25.6 fantasy points per game, basically identical, just a little bit short of McCaffrey's numbers. And we have a guy who has carried the load at Wisconsin, in Indianapolis. He's never gotten banged up. He's never gotten hurt. Like, he's always been someone that's been a stable running back. And people talk about how last year, his RB1 season wasn't even that great. Like, oh, like it was a down year to be the RB1. So doesn't that tell you that he could be better this year? Like, that's in his range of outcomes. Usually we're fading the RB1 and it's not repeatable because of how excellent that player was. But Jonathan Taylor doing what he did last year is still in his range of outcomes, as is him being better than he was last year. Matt Ryan is a check down king. Like, and there is no one in this Colts offense that has established himself. We're hoping it's Michael Pittman that takes that next step. They're talking about Naeem Hines, but Jonathan Taylor is going to potentially catch more passes than he did last year with Matt Ryan, who led the NFL in targets to running backs as a quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons last year. So I think that there's still a path for Jonathan Taylor to have an upside that matches that of a Christian McCaffrey while also offering that really secure floor because the dude is always on the field.
Fair enough. Let's go to the number three guy on the board here, Austin Eckler, who obviously another guy in full PPR can be a very devastating player. 70 receptions last year for him. A fantastic mark. There's no doubt about that. We know recently there was a little movement there. Sony Michel ending up in this backfield now. Isaiah Spiller, somebody they were high on, they drafted, but seems to me maybe he's a little bit further behind some of the other guys right now. Is there any way we should be concerned at all about anybody else in this backfield eating into the potential workload of Austin Eckler, Andrew?
I mean, I think Sony Michel is a bigger threat than they've had in years past. I mean, not that he's the biggest threat that we saw with like Melvin Gordon in that backfield, right. But we still saw Eckler be productive even when Melvin Gordon was in that backfield. And you look at the offensive environment, it's really hard to see Eckler just like failing in, you know, a supercharged Chargers offense that, you know, could potentially go all the way to the Super Bowl with the up and coming quarterback. It's just really about the touchdowns. Like, it's possible Eckler scores 8 touchdowns instead of 20. And that obviously hurts his bottom line when it comes to his fantasy production, but he's still going to catch a lot of passes, but there's also more mouths to feed in this offense. I think Joshua Palmer is an emerging player. Gerald Everett is better than what they had at tight end last year with Jared Cook. So you're seeing kind of bits and pieces of Eckler not hitting that same ceiling he hit last year, but still offering that super secure floor, especially in the PPR format, because his touchdowns are going to come down. It's really hard to score 20 touchdowns back-to-back years when there are other guys that can also earn touchdowns, like Mike Williams, like such a major touchdown regression candidate to catch more than he did last year. And the same thing with Justin Herbert. What if Justin Herbert just throws more touchdowns? Like, that's definitely in his range of outcomes as well. So I have Eckler RB4, a little bit lower, but still think that he's a solid first round pick.
Now, Jamie, in the half PPR, we have Derrick Henry right behind him right now at RB4. How do you look at these two players here? Derrick Henry, obviously a guy that, you know, the offense is running through him. You don't have nearly the same concerns as Andrew was just voicing, right, about the Charger attack being so potentially prolific through the air that maybe some of that, the 20 touchdowns to Austin Eckler, gets divided up and chopped up among some other guys potentially. Doesn't seem to be that same kind of concern, Derrick Henry with the Titans. So how do you rank these two guys here who are both clearly elite but very different in terms of style?
Yeah, I think the thing just comes down with these two guys is, do you expect Derrick Henry to be Derrick Henry again? And you know, if you feel that way, you should, you know, you can make a case he's number one overall, because, you know, he's gonna be in the league rushing, you know, in the conversation to lead the league in rushing. He's gonna be in the conversation to have the most rushing touchdowns. And as we saw last year, you know, when I love when Andrew's talking about sample sizes and how, you know, we're so selective with certain ones when it fits our argument. But you know, the pro Derrick Henry people will tell you that, you know, he was on pace to double his reception total from a year ago. And that's something that will hopefully continue, especially, you know, you could compare the Chargers and their receiving core to the Titans, their receiving core, and, you know, Treylon Burks and who knows what's happening there. And Robert Woods, you know, at his age, coming back from the knee injury, obviously you would probably try to put the ball in Derrick Henry's hands as much as possible. So I would still lean toward Eckler, but, you know, Henry is right there based on what he hopefully will continue to be, you know, 28 years old, coming off the foot injury. You know, those are things that are a little concerning, you know, for a guy that's had as much carries as he's had the last couple of seasons. But I mean, man, everything is pointing in the direction of him just being back to normal and back to being that guy again. So those are, I think, the top four and a safe top four in half PPR.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Wondery. Formula One drivers live in the fast lane, both on and off the track. And Wondery's new podcast, Fast and Loose F1, hosted by Will Arnett, is here to cover it all, from McLaren to Ferrari to Mercedes. The world's most prestigious and fastest F1 teams challenge each other on the world stage. And on Fast and Loose F1, you'll hear from top drivers, managers, and team owners to get inside access to the high-stakes drama of the chase to win the greatest racing competition. SmartList co-host Will Arnett will be joined by two-time world champion The Flying Finn, Mika Hakkinen, revealing the high-speed twists and turns after every F1 race. Listen to Fast and Loose F1 on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts, or listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. And now, back to the action.
Well, if we're looking at number five, I think it starts to come up for debate a little bit. Dalvin Cook in that conversation, obviously a guy who was, you know, RB3 in 2019, 13 touchdowns. I know last year we looked at, you know, in 2020, very good, also 17 touchdowns, but clearly the 2021 touchdown total was lacking a little bit. That can be certainly arbitrary year over year, we all know. But then after Dalvin Cook, we're also looking at guys like Joe Mixon, Najee Harris. There's a cluster there between these guys, and I think everybody sort of has their favorite. So do you have a favorite? Are they very close for you? Or maybe there's one that kind of stands out from the pack in this middle of the RB1 tier?
For me, it's Alvin Kamara, to be honest with you. You know, I think, you know, you look at what he should be able to do. And I know why he's not necessarily always brought up in this conversation, because of the potential suspension. And, you know, I think as we moved along in the process, knowing that it looks like it's going to be 2023, that he could be facing a suspension. Now, clearly, if there's a video surfaces, or, you know, this goes a different direction when we get to the next court case, you're going to regret it. But I think just knowing what he is in this offense, and from everybody that I've spoken to, people have been to New Orleans and seen them up close. They may be better than they've ever been, or certainly as close to the peak Drew Brees years. So if Jameis doesn't vomit all over himself, which we know is certainly possible, there's just a ton to like about what Kamara can be. You know, I don't know if he'll have the same reception total, but I also think, you know, what we've seen from him, mostly from Sean Payton, is a little bit more kid gloves. I don't know if Dennis Allen and Pete Carmichael, the coach and offense coordinator, will do the same things. They may actually try to run him to the ground. So I think that you said it best. It's the jumbled group with all these guys, and it's just a matter of who you like best. For me, I like Kamara the best.
And that's so interesting because he's at 10 right now. Do you think that's appropriate considering that looming specter of the unknown, where we do know at any moment there could be a change in that kind of a developing story? Or do you just can't go into a fantasy season like that, do you think?
You know, I mean, for me, it's kind of, you know, evolved as we've gotten more information. You know, once he got past the last court hearing and the postponement again, you know, and just, you know, the people who obviously understand this a little bit better than me, much smarter than me, you know, it seems as if, you know, we're going to be from, you know, I hate talking in terms like this, because, you know, there are certainly things off the field that matter. But from a football standpoint, it sounds like he's going to play the majority of the season. So as long as that's the case and you're just evaluating what he can be as a player, I think this offensive line is going to be good. I think this offense is going to be maybe as explosive as it's ever been. And I think Kamara is going to be the, you know, big reason why.
Andrew, when you look at this grouping that includes Alvin Kamara, it includes Joe Mixon, it includes Najee Harris with the foot issue too, or trying to figure that out, and DeAndre Swift, who has been a favorite of ours here, obviously, on the program. And my goodness, has his ADP risen. I feel like you and I are at least partially responsible for that rise in ADP. Jake Seeley was on one of those a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, that's too high now. He went from being a guy that we really like at the end of the turn to being a guy now that has to give us first round value. I disagree with Jake. Of course, what else is new? I love him dearly. He's one of my best friends. But still, I feel like it's appropriate. Like, that's what we're looking at, the younger backs who are ready to go. But how do you see this grouping, too? Because it is sort of a choose-your-own-adventure between all of these characters here. Do you have one that sticks out to you if you're in the middle that you're hoping falls to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think Joe Mixon is someone that I gravitate towards because, I mean, he falls, like, to the middle of the second round a ton. And I just think that
that's absurd. I have not. You've seen that where he's falling to the second round?
Yeah, because he doesn't
I want to be in these drafts. So I don't know what
because he doesn't have this amazing receiving role, but he plays on a really great offense. He still gets passed down work in terms of on early downs. And look, it's Samaje Perine and Chris Evans. Like, okay, like these guys are just guys. Like, I don't see, like, Joe Mixon is going like later or at the same that he did last year. And he was the RB3 last year. So I'm kind of understanding, like, in the offensive line is improved.
Right.
Like, so I'm just trying to figure out, like, why people don't want to draft Joe Mixon. And it just seems like people just hate drafting. And like, all right, well then, I guess I'll draft him then. Like, sorry. I think he's super safe. I think he's super secure. People didn't want to draft him last year because he got hurt the year before, even though he had insane touch volume. And I mean, last year he was third in total touches, sixth in touches per game, goal line carries, he ranked third. Like, is that going to go away? They're going to use someone else at the goal line? They're going to use Samaje Perine at the goal line? I don't think so. So for me, Mixon, I feel really good about taking him whenever he falls into the second round.
Is Najee Harris safe anymore? I mean, I know we've talked about, well, we've been told that the foot injury, he's past the worst of it and everything's fine now. It feels more, you know, it's like when Han Solo is in the Death Star and he's just telling everyone, everything's fine. It's fine. How are you? Like, to me, that's kind of the feeling I'm getting right now when people talk to me about Najee Harris. I've seen him fall in a few drafts because people just don't want to mess around with running backs who have foot issues, and I don't blame them. Are you one of those people too, Andrew? Has he become the last resort for you a little bit in this group because of that injury? Or are you thinking maybe, no, it's okay, we're good, and maybe just maybe this Pittsburgh offense could be better than we realize?
I think it still comes down to, you know, volume is king. Like, we try to nitpick and predict, and you know, for people that think that Deontay Johnson supporters will talk about the offense being a lot better. And it'll be, oh, Kenny Pickett and Mitchell Trubisky, the offense will be better, so it's good for Deontay Johnson. But, oh, no, it's not good for Najee Harris. Like, no, it's not good for him. So, but because it comes down to, how many touches is Najee Harris going to get? I know they're talking about, oh, they're going to reduce his snap load by like 10 to 15%.
Well, he did wear down a little bit there. There was a couple weeks towards the end where he looked a little spent.
But
he got a second win, but still.
But we got to look at the coach. Like, that's why I don't care about what the coaches say. Like, Mike Tomlin, Sean McVay, these guys have true workhorse running backs every time when they have a certain guy. They drafted Najee Harris in the first round. Like, why are they going to take away touches so they can put this Warren kid on the field? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I'm not going to believe what they're talking about. Oh, well, you know, in 10%, this isn't a massive amount. Like, he was at 80% last year. So, okay, is it 70%? Okay, he's still going to lead the league in snaps and touches. Like, that's still a big advantage, and it's going to provide him a floor. People will talk about, oh, well, he's not going to be efficient. He's not going to rip off big runs, all this and that. But when it comes down to it, that doesn't matter. It's because of the amount of volume that he's going to get. And people that fade the volume get burned. So, again, when Najee Harris falls into the second round, I'm going to draft him.
All right, I'm going to put you on the clock, Jamie. You've got Najee Harris available, and you've got DeAndre Swift available. One guy certainly did it last year. The other teased it last year, but appears, at least right now, clean bill of health for sure for DeAndre Swift. Najee Harris, we're being told it is, but foot injuries and running backs, again, historically, very dangerous road to go down. So who would you rather have on your team this year, Swift or Najee Harris?
I still lean Najee, and Andrew said something very appropriate in regard to the coach. You know what Mike Tomlin's track record has been.
Right.
I mean, you know, from Willie Parker to Le'Veon Bell to the seasons of James Conner.
D'Angelo Williams, year, even at times.
Yeah, Rashard Mendenhall. I mean, you know, it's
Rashard just, Mendenhall.
When he has a guy, he leans on that guy, and it's so tried and true. And so, yes, the foot injury is somewhat concerning. And I think it's, you know, we have these stories every training camp, and sometimes it goes the wrong way. But think about last year when the panic set in on Quentin Nelson having a foot injury and Carson Wentz having a foot injury and Jonathan Taylor felt around too. We're not in the same flex draft, but the one I was in last year, I got Jonathan Taylor in the second round, and I was okay. I'll take it. It happened in the same flex draft this year, run by the aforementioned great Jake Seeley. I got Cooper Kupp.
Don't say nice things about Jake on this show. I mean, come on.
I got Cooper Kupp at pick 8 because people were panicked about Matthew Stafford's elbow.
Right.
You know, the fact that the Steelers, I'm going to trust that they think he was okay to play him in the final preseason game. If he was hurt that badly, you know, why would they, you know, even put him out there? So, you know, you say put me on the clock. I'm doing a draft right now, and just the timing was a little unfortunate that we're in the middle of our show. But my first two picks, picking 12th in the 12-team PPR league, were Alvin Kamara and Najee Harris. And the fact that he was still there at 13 was pretty good value for me. So don't love going running back all the time in PPR, but it just was too good a value to know what he can be.
Is there a time in the last 3 weeks where any of us were not in a draft? I don't feel like that's...
Sometimes you and I were in drafts together.
I was going to say, most of the time, it's like we were all together, you and I. And there were good times. They were fun drafts. And I hated you being next to me, by the way, in that one draft, because I knew, like, and Mike Williams, one more pick to go, and I knew it was going to make it back. And you're going to take him. You took him right from under me. I rolled the dice and I lost. All right, this is what happens when smart people draft right next to you. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about FanDuel. New FanDuel fantasy players, your day is about to get 20% better. Fantasy football season is almost here, and we're providing you with a free 6-month subscription to Fantasy Pros once you sign up with FanDuel through FanDuel.com/FP. That's FanDuel.com/FP. Upon your sign up, FanDuel is also providing you with a free entry into an NFL contest. That's right, free entry and 6 months free subscription to Fantasy Pros Premium Tools. What? That's an incredible value. Go ahead, play some FanDuel today. You can set new lineups for every single game. Many different types of formats exist too. You can do the main slate. You can do single games, best ball, snake draft. You name it, they've got it. And you can even play in private contests with your friends or your enemies. And we're looking for an awesome new slate of games every single week in the regular season with FanDuel. It cycles over, so you don't worry about your injuries. You don't worry about your season-long woes. In FanDuel, you get a nice, clean slate every single week waiting for you. So experience season-long wins without season-long waits. Sign up with FanDuel and receive a free entry for an NFL contest and a free 6-month subscription to Fantasy Pros by heading to FanDuel.com/FP. Again, FanDuel.com/FP. Age and location restrictions apply. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires after 30 days. And now, back to the action. Let's talk about the guys in the fringe of RB1 a second. One guy that's getting a lot of helium back into the balloon is Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants, and rightfully so. He's a very talented player. Last couple of years have certainly been injury plagued. Yet we're getting a much bigger discount on him than we're getting on Christian McCaffrey last time I checked. Some experts actually have him ranked inside the top 5 of RBs, which, again, that's putting a lot. I think that's to jump him over those players. But when you're looking, Jamie, at Saquon Barkley this year and where he's going, I mean, he's clearly a guy you could take in the second round. Is he somebody you feel confident in, though, as an RB1? If you started a team with, let's say, Chase in the end of the first round and Barkley was your first running back. Is that something you feel comfortable with in that build?
I actually have two teams, you know, you want to live dangerously, two teams with McCaffrey, Barkley. So that's going to be either get hurt.
I was going to say, really? No, I kind of remember the last couple seasons.
Not 2 years well, in one, a row.
One is I do two father-son leagues with my two older ones, the 10-year-old and the 8-year-old. And the 8-year-old, so McCaffrey fell. This is a non-PPR league. McCaffrey fell to 7. I was like, we got to take him at 7. And then we get to the second round, and I was trying to steer him in the direction of Aaron Jones over Barkley. And just not that I have it ranked that way, but just to avoid the potential headaches. And he was like, no, Barkley. I was like, all right, we'll go Barkley. And the messages that I got back were, are you crazy? This is you're supposed to do this for a living, and this is where you're steering your son to take
this guy. Hey, if you're not first, you're last, man. I mean, that's going to either be a team that runs away with the championship or that it's over in October.
100%. That's fine. But yeah. I think Barkley, you know, the thing that I love about it is, first off, the fact that he's a full year removed from the ACL tear. That I do think that the offensive line is going to start to look a lot better by the middle of the season. Whether Daniel Jones follows suit remains to be seen. But he's got I think, the opportunity when you look at this team and you look at Brian Daboll and how smart he should be, that their best receiver is Saquon Barkley. And you know, Kadarius Toney is going to be a star if he stays on the field. Sterling Shepard and Wandale Robinson will have the opportunity to make plays. I have no faith in Kenny Galladay, but still, he's a body out there. But, you know, Barkley, the thing that made him special his rookie season, in my opinion, the 91 catches, you know, and if he can be, you know, north of 50, anywhere close to 70, and certainly anything above that, he has a chance to be a top five pick. It's asking a lot, but, you know, that's the type of player I think he still has the potential to be. So I would ballpark it at about 50 just to be safe, 50 receptions. But if he's healthy and gets that type of receiving numbers, you know, he'll make up for it on the ground. You know, the touchdowns will be what kind of, I think, sways it one way or the other. But he's in a good spot based on how much I think they'll use him in the passing game.
Get him out there in space. Stop running him between the tackles. It's not really what his strong suit was in college. I don't know why they haven't picked that up again in this last regime, but it's a new regime, as you mentioned. Andrew, where do you stand on Saquon Barkley real quick? He is the consensus number 10 running back in the half PPR ranks right now. Do you believe that that's an appropriate ranking for him, even though the upside is so big, the downside is still looming as well?
I think it should be higher. Should be RB. I think I agree closer to the top five. I have met RB6 because, again, hitting on the volume thing. Like, people are getting way too occupied with the offenses that these guys are in. When we see it all the time, we see these running backs overcome because they're getting volume and we want to spin it up. We only want these great offenses. But running back is the one position that can make do with a lack of efficiency, especially guys. Oh, you're trailing in the game? Oh, here are 6 dump off passes in PPR. That's 6 points. And it takes that the same a guy averaging 6 yards per carry, which is much a more difficult task to accomplish. So I think Barkley's on the fringe as being a top five. He's definitely like the highest ranked running back I have in the second round. You look at the depth chart. Is Matt Breida going to take away touches from Saquon Barkley? The guy who could barely get on the field with Brian Daboll last year in Buffalo. Like, that's not going to happen. They got a bunch of jabronis behind Saquon Barkley.
Nice. And a nice little wrestling reference from you, Andrew Erickson. I'm so proud. Too much time spent with me, obviously, the last few months.
He's an impending free agent, and the Giants have all the incentive in the world to, like, dude, like, we need to use this guy now. Like, this is it. This is the last year we could potentially use him. Brian Daboll's a smart coach. He understands that. He also understands he's their best player on offense by far. Like, who else are they going to feature? Kadarius Toney? Yeah, when he's healthy, how many games is that going to be? Like, Kenny Galladay, again, dust. You're not going to do anything in the passing game this year, except, you know, just get bodied by defensive backs. So I think Saquon, this is the year you get the discount. Like, the thing with CMC is there's really no discount involved with him, where you do get the discount with a Saquon Barkley who is entering this year not injured. Like, every year it seemed like he was coming in rehabbing a prior injury, but he's been healthy the entire offseason. They've made upgrades at the offensive line, and just the personnel in general, from the coaching staff to some of the players, it's just a better situation. I don't see how Barkley isn't better than he was last year, and that, I think, dictates him being closer to the top five than outside the top 10.
All right, the rest of this grouping in tier 3 is 11, Aaron Jones, 12, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb at 13, Javonte Williams at 14, James Conner at 15, and Ezekiel Elliott at 16. Andrew, let's play a little Sesame Street game. Which one's not like the other? You tell me which one of these guys is your target here. You have all of them on the board. Who are you taking if this group makes it to you when you're looking for a guy that you can say is your RB1?
Can you read the list off again?
Absolutely. It's also in a show sheet that I work very hard on every single day. And if you all could just pay attention just a little bit to some of the work.
I'm looking at my notes from the show sheet.
Yes, I know, dear. I know. It's fine. Aaron Jones, Leonard Fournette, Nick Chubb, Javonte, Connor, and Elliott. I know it's not Elliott. I know you well enough to not say that.
Yeah, it's not Elliott. I mean, I think that, I mean, this is a range I don't really love a lot of the right. I think it's probably just Javonte because I get the upside case for Williams, and it depends on what day you look at from what Denver's beat reporter, what they're saying. Melvin, he'll get 50% of the carries, he'll get 80% of the carries the next day. It just changes every single day how they'll use these guys. But at the end of the day, Javonte Williams is a second-year running back, you know, ascending. Melvin Gordon is getting older, and even though he was efficient last year, I think that if we are trying to play out a scenario where this Broncos backfield, you know, running 1,000 simulations or however it plays out, Javonte eventually will take over the backfield, be the RB1, and Melvin Gordon will play a smaller role. Will that happen in week 1? Don't know. But I think down the stretch, you could probably see Javonte taking on a larger role. And just based on last year, I mean, he was RB17 last year. So, okay, you're paying a back-end RB1 price. Worst case scenario, he finishes as like in the RB15 range. So I'm willing to take a small loss with Javonte. Melvin Gordon stays involved all year long for the bet at a massive gain, because look at all the rankings with Javonte before Melvin Gordon resigned there. I mean, he was like a top 5 running back pretty much across the board. So I think that's still in his range of outcomes. And I think I'm willing to shoot for that here with this range where I feel like we're seeing more guys that could kind of fall as opposed to ascend during the year.
Well, every single one of these guys has a deficit you could point to, you know, whether it be an age situation, whether it be who's the quarterback in the offense, who doesn't catch passes enough potentially. So, Jamie, I know you mentioned Aaron Jones. Is that the guy still leading this pack for you, or is it the upside of a Javonte Williams or somebody else?
I can certainly see the case for Javonte, you know, if you're just shooting for the highest ceiling, because, you know, what Melvin Gordon said a couple weeks ago is what we all wanted to hear. The coaches want Javonte to be the guy. Thank you. So do we. But I do think Aaron Jones, you know, you look at this team right now and he's going to lead them in receptions, and, you know, he's still going to be a factor carrying the ball. You know, I think it's like, you know, how Andrew was saying, you know, we look at the sample size for McCaffrey and the sample size for, you know, don't look at the sample size for other people. AJ Dillon's going to be so awesome that he's going to be just do everything for the hold on. You know, Aaron Jones is still going to be a big factor on this team, and he's not just going to all of a sudden become a slot receiver. He's still going to probably be either neck and neck with Dillon, if not leading the team in carries. He's going to be neck and neck in terms of rushing touchdowns, in rushing carries and rushing yards. So I love Aaron Jones. I just think as long as he stays healthy, this could be like what we saw 2017 for Kamara and Ingram, when both those guys were, you know, startable fantasy running backs. I think both Dillon and Aaron Jones could be startable with Jones, the clear-cut winner, as long as he stays healthy.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros, because no matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action.
Let's move to the tier 4 guys. Now, this is the classic. I hope this is the last time I have to say this, because I'm so sick of the RB dead zone buzzword catchphrase thing. I'm just completely over it. But again, this is the group that I think is sink or swim. This is the group that if you get it right, if you end up drafting a Travis Etienne or Breece Hall or Cam Akers or even AJ Dillon, as you mentioned, and things go well, then you're going to be on easy street. If you draft a guy like David Montgomery and he doesn't perform very well, or Eli Mitchell and he doesn't perform very well, I think it's going in the opposite direction very quickly. I want to talk about two guys at the very top of this tier 2. Akers is at 20 and Breece Hall is at 19. They're going back to back. Jamie, when you look at these two guys, obviously, you know, we have a small sample size of Akers. We have no sample size of Breece Hall. Who would you rather have in half PPR as you're going forward as your RB2?
It's Hall just because I'm so uncertain about what's going on with Akers and why they're, you know, like Andrew said, if it's just the Sean McVay track record, he's going to be fantastic and he's going to shatter what his ADP is starting to become. But is he going to be that guy? And, you know, we're working really on such a small sample size of him being successful as that guy. Now, I don't care what happened last year. The fact that he came back was as heroic as anything we've seen from a football player to be able to be back on the field and get that work and not fall apart. You know, and I spoke to Sean McVay at the NFL owners meetings about Cam Akers, and he brought up the Arizona game. And he said, you know, it looked like he had his twitch back. And so I was kind of like, okay, you know, they're going to go to him. He's going to be their girly. He's going to be, you know, the catalyst of this offense from a backfield standpoint. But then it just feels like everything he's saying is going counterproductive to that. And now you have maybe a third guy factored in with Kieran Williams, which scares the hell out of me if we're not going to see Akers on passing downs, or at least as the season goes on passing downs. So I'll take my chances of the rookie being special because he's a talented guy. It's just his situation sucks. So I hope Breece Hall can sort of overcome what the Jets may or may not be. But I like the upside of him a little bit better.
Well, I spoke to my friend Steve McVay over at ShopRite. I ran into him, and he said that he's a very big Jet fan.
Well, I know you like when I do that all the time, when I bring up
I love when you try. Although I did hang out with you guys the other night, did get to hang out with Deebo Samuel, which was pretty darn cool, I got to say. But how about you, Andrew Erickson? Is it Akers, who has been one of these players I feel like has been all over the map? Like, if there's one player that's going to undo everybody in some fashion, I feel like it's Akers. Or Breece Hall, who everybody I feel like felt super confident about 2 months ago. And now all of a sudden, with a little bit of the, well, Michael Carter, maybe we take a little time going in. This seems like all of a sudden the Breece Hall confidence, the Cam Akers confidence has really been kind of shaken to its core recently. How do you compare these two right now as we're entering into the final drafts that we have left?
Yeah. So full disclosure, like I think I like both targeting both of these running backs, like in the dead zone, like them and Travis Etienne are kind of the three guys that I will actually draft. When it comes to them against each other, I still prefer Cam Akers. And for me, it's just, I'm not going to buy into the coach speak stuff. I'm looking for what they do on the field. And Cam Akers has played in 6 postseason games for the Rams with everything on the line, 21 touches per game. They were begging him to get back on the field from a torn freaking Achilles because they're like, wow, we can't get any great production from running backs. Let's get Cam Akers back out here, even though he's probably at like 60% of what he could possibly do. So yes, Thursday night is going to be, it's going to be a nail biter. Who takes the first snap at running back for the Rams? Oh man. Like, what's going to happen? I think it's going to be Cam Akers, and I think Cam Akers is going to dominate the snap share, and everyone's going to be like, wow, we were freaking out over quotes about Sean McVay, who, dude, this guy, he waxes poetic about all of his running backs all the time. Even when they first drafted Cam Akers, they were talking about, oh, we're going to use Malcolm Brown and Daryl Henderson. We're going to use all these guys. So I'm looking at what's more important to me. The fact that they've leaned on him so much in the playoffs, or the fact that McVay has said a couple things and they've been splitting reps in training camp, because they haven't played any of these guys during the preseason. So there's really no concrete evidence except for what we saw last year with Cam Akers getting the workload. So that's why I still believe in Cam Akers. And with Breece Hall, I think it's just us overanalyzing the preseason again. Yes, Michael Carter has a role in this offense because he's not like a bad player. But when the Jets are 0-8, like they're going to be like, wow, we should probably use our best players like all the time. Like, what matters more? The fact that Michael Carter and him split reps in the preseason, or the fact that Breece Hall was a mega producer at the college level, has a 3-down skill set? The Jets told us they would have traded up into the first round to draft him as their 4th first-round pick.
Classic,
like,
Jets.
Like, so which one of those things are you going to, okay, this is what I think about Breece Hall. I think about all the things the Jets did before they drafted him and right. What he did at college, not, oh, during this preseason game, Michael Carter like played half the snaps. Like, I'm going to pick one side, and I'm going to pick the side that I think is more, you know, projectable over a season versus just a 1-game or 2-game sample size.
All right. Now, for all of you who've been listening to the shows and watching the shows on YouTube, and first of all, we just say we appreciate all of you. I know we've gotten so many great messages from all of you. We want to turn those messages and those thank yous and the thanks for helping me prepare for my draft and all that stuff into reviews. So go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your pods and where you listen to Fantasy Pros. Give us a review. We'd love to hear from you guys. And again, if you do, don't forget, that's a little, it's an entry into the contest for the Jalen Hurts jersey. Just saying. So take the time out. We've been trying to prepare all you guys, get you everybody really excited about football season, prepared for their drafts, ready to kick butt, ready to dominate. So hopefully you've enjoyed the shows, and we've got so much great in-season content too. So if you get a chance today after the show, maybe a pause the show, like I said, for reflection, a little pause for reflection, and maybe a little podcast review. We appreciate that. So I just want to say thank you to all of you who have done it already. And if you haven't, come on, what's going on? Give a nice little thing. I could also do the guilt, you know, like the Italian mother guilt. What's wrong with you? Why didn't you leave a nice thing on the podcast? I don't understand. What's the matter? You can't leave a nice review? Of course you can. Do you get the mother guilt still, Andrew? You're in your mid to late 20s still. Do you get the mother guilt at all or no?
I'm just like not like talking to my mother enough. Is that what you mean?
call your mother. Why don't you call your mother?
My mom doesn't ever respond to my messages. Ever. She'll respond to me days later.
I like when she responds to you on Twitter. That's when I.
Oh, yeah, she does respond to me.
That's fun. I feel like that's when you guys talk the most.
My number one follower. Yeah. Number one follower.
All right. Let's talk about some more guys in this group. Let's go with Chase Edmonds. So Chase Edmonds, it seems like, again, a little less competition. I know Raheem Mostert's still there. I understand Miles Gaskin's still there. But Andrew, is Chase Edmonds really the starter here? And is it something we can feel confident about?
I think so. I think that the Sony Michel thing was big. I think it opened up a hole where you could see Chase Edmonds get goal line carries. You know, that's really been what he's been lacking. And I know Debro, as the Chase Edmonds stand on the Fantasy Pros podcast, has really talked about that's what he needs. That's like the next step to get him unlocked. Like, we know he's efficient with the ball in his hands. We know that he can catch passes out of the backfield. Now, he's never always been the guy. You know, a smaller size, he's broken down when he's gotten a lot of work, but he's always been productive when he has gotten opportunities to start for the Arizona Cardinals in the past, but he just never got those goal line opportunities. Now it's just him and Raheem Mostert and Miles Gaskin. I don't think so. And the fact that they paid him so much money, I mean, it would make sense that they want Edmonds to be the guy that scores the touchdowns. Like, oh, this is our big free agent acquisition. Look at him scoring all these touchdowns. Like, that just kind of lines up in my mind as making sense. So yeah, I think as long as Edmonds stays healthy, and I think he's a better shot of long term than a 30-year-old Raheem Mostert. Yeah, I think Edmonds has kind of been a value like this entire time. And even at RB 27 or 25, I think that he's still really good value.
What about Josh Jacobs, Jamie? Another guy who's kind of been, I would say, in limbo a little bit in terms of draft stock. He's at 23 in the RB dead zone, as it were. Also doesn't have Kenny and Drake around anymore. There's still Zamir White in this backfield too. A few other guys also. But do you believe that Josh Jacobs at this point is an investment one can make in fantasy as, let's say, a flex RB? Is that still something you feel confident in him returning that investment?
The two guys that I'm out on that you mentioned already, Zeke is one. I just can't buy into him with this offensive line, especially, you had him at 16. And Jacobs is the other. I think what we've seen from this new Raiders regime, if you were drafted by John Gruden and Mike Mayock and overdrafted by John Gruden and Mike Mayock, they're kicking you to the curb as fast as they possibly can.
It's called the Leatherwood effect, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Jacobs, they need him a little bit, but I think they're going to need him until he screws up. I don't think he's going to screw up like, you know, some monumental thing that just costs the team. At least I hope not. But I think they would completely turn to the combination of Zamir White and Amir Abdullah if they had to and be fine with it. And so, you know, one of my favorite targets has been Zamir White this entire draft season, just because I think this offense is going to be very productive, which has benefited Jacobs. You know, you look at his splits, wins, losses over his career, it's pretty telling. Most of that is because he doesn't typically ever roll in the passing game. You mentioned Kenyon Drake. When Drake got hurt, when Darren Waller got hurt last year, they had no choice but to use him a little bit more as a pass catcher, and it made a lot of sense, and he played great. But I think this year, with the fact that he's potentially coming off the field on obvious passing downs, now you have Adams, Waller back, Renfro's still there. It's just going to be tough for him, I think, to produce. He's going to get, I don't want to say he's a trap back because he'll still score touchdowns, but he still has that type of downside, I think, that he could, you know, ruin your team a little bit that way if he's not finding the end zone. So I'm out on Jacobs. Like, there's a guy you haven't mentioned, it, which I know we'll talk about, that I like a lot better, who's a little bit more polarizing potentially, but I just can't get behind Jacobs even at this price point. He's just a little bit lower for me.
All right, well, let's talk about the guys you like then. Let's be positive. I mean, look, when it comes to Jacobs, he's playing for a contract. Is that last year? Certainly the usage is there potentially for him, but certainly you make a good point. If there is a point in time where it makes sense to pivot from him, they will. I think I feel okay with him as a flex guy. As an RB2, not so much.
Yeah, flex is fine.
Right. I think like that's the guy. It's like, as a flex RB, because there is that, as Andrew likes to say, the range of outcomes where things actually go his way. And maybe Zamir White isn't quite ready. Maybe he puts the ball on the ground a couple times. Next thing you know, well, it's still Josh Jacobs is the guy. And then he just moves on to some other team. Who do you like in this group? Who is a potential breakout in the RB dead zone, as it were?
I mean, you haven't mentioned him yet. It's Damian Pierce for me. You know, I just look at the situation, and I know the Texans aren't going to be great, but the Jets aren't going to be great, you know. And so I know the prospect is much better for Breece Hall, but the Texans are telling us what they're going to do. Bye-bye Marlon Mack. Rex Burkhead's 100 years old. You know, he might have some obvious passing down situations, which I get. And that's, I think, the thing that people really need to see from Pierce to, you know, sort of prove it. But he had 19 catches in a limited role at Florida. That's probably translates to about 30, 35 catches at the collegiate level, unless you're, you know, a guy like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's a pretty good number to start from. And so I think as long as Pierce stays healthy, he's going to be pretty productive. So I take him over Jacobs. I take him over Zeke too. You know, I just don't really love the setup for those two guys. And I do like the setup for Damian Pierce. And so he's somebody that I've been aggressively drafting. And it was even, you know, before the preseason, it was, he's going around pick 100 based on ADP. I was taking him in the 70s, you know, so.
Right.
I'm a little biased.
Then he was RB 40 a couple weeks ago, then moved to 30, and now he's 27.
Yeah, he's getting to a price point that's obviously a little unrealistic, which is, you know, bound to happen. But, you know, you get him at the right situation, you know, depending on when you did your draft, I think he's going to reward a lot of people. So I'm still, you know, for the most part, relatively excited about what Damian Pierce could be. And like I said, I would take him over somebody like Josh Jacobs.
I would say this too. In your casual drafts, he will still be suppressed in value. I guarantee it. Like, there's unless you're in a sharper draft or expert draft or things like that, I still feel like Damian Pierce probably will not crack the first 25 running backs taken. I don't think so. At least that's not what I see. Who's a bust then, Jamie, in this grouping? If when you're looking at running backs, let's say in this potential range, I mean, we talked about some guys that were negative there. Who else in this RB dead zone is one that you just cannot, will not roster?
I mean, again, I'll just go back to Zeke and Jacobs. You know, I don't. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's, you know, like Damien Harris, at least on our ADP, is still going as a top 24 running back. Now, our ADP is weird because it sort of combines all of our drafts, you know, so all the scoring right. format. But Harris, the Patriots, like that just it just seems like it's going to be gross, you know, from Matt Patricia being the play caller to, you know, some offensive line concerns. And now you have maybe Ty Montgomery coming back for week one. You know, I think there was a little reason for optimism from Rhamondre Stevenson, but Damien Harris is somebody that I'm just completely out on for sure.
Understandable. All right, Andrew, give me the breakout guy from the dead zone and the bust guy from the dead zone.
Breakout guy from the dead zone. I mean, I still like Rhamondre Stevenson. Like, I don't get why I can't believe in Stevenson taking a bigger role in this Patriots offense. I get Ty Montgomery's coming back, but, you know, biggest takeaway from Patriots training camp that I went to, I saw Ty Montgomery. The dude is built like a twig. Not to say that he's going to like get hurt again, but there's a reason like these wide receiver running back hybrids like don't have very long shelf lives in the NFLs because they have weird body types that don't necessarily, they're not meant to take on big workloads. So I don't really see him having like this massive workload in the Patriots offense, even if he is working in it occasionally. I still think Stevenson's the better running back. I think he's better in space than Damian Harris is. We're seeing them shift from a different running scheme that was really favorable to Harris. I think Harris would actually benefit if he was on the Raiders. Like Josh McDaniels was like, let's just trade for Damian Harris, like get him, be our starting running back. I feel like that'd be better, honestly. And that would free up Rhamondre Stevenson to have a larger role in the Patriots. But, you know, he just checks off a lot of the boxes. PFF's highest graded rookie running back last year. You look at the rookie running backs that were number one in their rankings the last 4 years, Jonathan Taylor, Alvin Kamara, Nick Chubb, Josh Jacobs. All top eight running backs in their second seasons. Like, is that a guarantee that he's going to finish there? No, but there's a pattern to his efficiency and how good of a player he is. I think is going to translate to on the field production, especially with the Patriots. We have a lot of question marks about like, who are their best players? Like, who are the best players on offense? It's kind of like they have a bunch of like, okay guys, where I think Stevenson can really be the star of that offense and really be the main guy for them.
Well, they lack playmakers. They've lacked playmakers for years. And I mean, they've lacked playmakers probably since Rob Gronkowski was peak Rob Gronkowski, let's be honest. And that's a long time. And you can get away with it when you have Tom Brady. And, you know, I just don't know how long you can get away with it when you don't. Let's continue on with the next group here, the guys in tier five. And again, if you want to take a look at these rankings, you can at fantasypros.com/rankings and sort them however you like, depending on whatever format you're playing in. These are some of these players we're talking about. Rhamondre Stevenson, Damian Harris is in this group in the late 20s. And I want to talk about two guys who are back-to-back. It's Kareem Hunt and Tony Pollard. Andrew, in PPR leagues, these are guys I think that have a lot of flex appeal, as you would. Kareem Hunt or Pollard, who would you rather have between those two guys?
It's so tough for me because I still think in the back of my mind that Kareem Hunt will not be on the Browns and he could be on a different team.
Well, it's getting late. Yeah, I mean, but, he might get traded. You're not wrong.
That's what I mean. He could get traded. A guy gets, I mean, the thing is no one has gotten hurt yet. And that may be the reason why he has not gotten traded yet. You know, last year we had the Big Acres injury and we haven't really had that happen yet. And unfortunately, the way football is played, it's probably going to happen sooner rather than later. So in the back of my mind, I really think that Hunt still has that untapped upside, as does Ezekiel Elliott, Tony Pollard, based on if Zeke goes down. So you have both these guys, you could totally see them like being a top five running back, which is why they're enticing, and then also factoring in their standalone value. So I think Hunt has a little more standalone value just playing in the Browns offense. But based on the current situations that they're in right now with Tony Pollard entrenched in Dallas behind Zeke, who I just do not want any piece of this year, I'm probably going to lean towards Tony Pollard, but then immediately regret it when Kareem Hunt gets traded to a different team and is the RB1 there. So that's where I stand.
All right, Jamie, how about you? Kareem Hunt or Tony Pollard? Let's say it's full PPR. Who do you think has the most upside that you want on your roster?
This, I think, comes down to roster construction, because I think if you need somebody who's going to contribute immediately, it still feels like Kareem Hunt's the better of the two, because you know what he's going to be for the Browns. He's going to work in tandem with Chubb. Not that Pollard's not going to work in tandem with Zeke, but it feels like to maximize Pollard's potential, Zeke's probably going to have to get hurt. Whereas I think, unless just, you know, everything they said this offseason about using him in the passing game, which makes a lot of sense, knowing that, you know, Gallup's not 100% right now and James Washington's not there. So him as a pass catcher could be fantastic. But I think we need to see probably Zeke getting hurt to, you know, see where Tony Pollard could actually become. Whereas at least you saw Kareem Hunt last year was, you know, outproducing Nick Chubb in the first half of the season before he started to get banged up. I'm curious though, Andrew, if you see a situation where he does get traded without an injury, you know, because just because the Browns, maybe they're bad and they're wanting to maximize their value, does he have that opportunity to still be a guy that's a lead rusher, or is he just going to part of a committee, you know, like some crowded back, like the Dolphins lose Raheem Mostert and they bring him in to share touches with, you know, Chase Edmonds, like one of those ugly situations like that. I could see something like that happening where it's not like as exciting as it could be.
Can we put him on the Eagles instead?
That'd right, like fun. The Eagles could do something like that.
They got Trey Sermon. No, they're good.
All right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
San Francisco brings him in issues. Even though Mitchell's healthy. You know, one of those situations. I think for me, like I tend to gravitate more toward Pollard just because, you know, I want the most upside of that duo. Now, granted, obviously Nick Chubb gets hurt the same situation, so you can, you know, play that side of it also. But we saw Zeke have to, you know, gimp his way around the field last year. What happens this year if the same knee injury occurs? Does he decide to sit it out for the majority of the season? So I'll lean toward Pollard.
Jamie, I want to throw two players at you that had great finishes to seasons, kind of out of nowhere. Both guys were off the waiver wire. Rashad Penny is at 30 on this list. Devin Singletary is at 35. Can you make an investment in either one of these guys, in your opinion?
I think if you go zero RB, Penny's a good candidate to, you know, take a look at, because as long as he's upright, you know, he'll probably be productive. It's just the offense is going to stink. And so how much do you want to buy into a Seattle player even, but certainly a Seahawks running back? And then when Walker comes back, you know, it's probably going to be a little bit messy. So, you know, I think if you're just looking at, okay, who has the safer floor, it's probably Devin Singletary. The higher ceiling, though, I think is Rashad Penny, just because we've seen. I have no idea, honestly, what the Bills are going to do with James Cook, because you would anticipate that they were aggressive in trying to get J.D. McKissick. Then they go into the draft and they get, you know, James Cook. And you think, okay, they're probably going to lean on somebody in a pass catching role out of the backfield that's not Devin Singletary. So if that happens and then Zach Moss is taking touchdowns away, it could just be awful for any Singletary fantasy manager. So even though that's the better offense and that's typically the way I'll lean, I'll take Penny over Singletary, just because we saw what he could be when he's on the field last year, which was pretty special.
All right. Tier six is filled with, let's say, misfit toys, right? We have the pass catching backs like the Raheem Mosterts of, the Naeem Hines and Kenneth Gainwells of the world. We have some backup RBs that are certainly interesting, like Khalil Herbert, Daryl Henderson, Ken Walker, as you mentioned, James Cook, some rookies in there. James Robinson's in this range. So a lot of varying names. Again, Mostert's actually in this grouping as well. But Andrew, when you look at this last grouping here, how do you approach it? Are you looking for some of these guys that have potential to take over backfields like Khalil Herbert? Are you looking for the pass catching guys? Who sticks out to you that you find yourself drafting as you get into the late rounds here at RB that you want on your bench for a specific reason?
I'm really looking for the guys that can take over the backfield. Like, I'm not necessarily interested in the Naeem Hines types, the Kenneth Gainwell types, because I don't know when to start these guys. Like every they have random spike weeks of production, so I almost prefer them, you know, in the, you know, hashtag better in best ball format, because you don't have to project. Like Fred Reich, we've talked about this on the podcast before. He loves Nyheim Hines in fantasy because he knows the games he's going to use him in, but he doesn't tell us that. So that's one of the things that I think is comical, because he probably thinks that he is a good pick because he thinks he'll have good weeks, but only he knows when they're going to be most of the time. So I want guys that I feel confident, like Khalil Herbert, he'll be on my bench. Don't need to worry about him like killing me because he has a great game, because I'll know when to play him because Dave Montgomery won't be active. Like it just, it's from a roster construction and almost from a sanity standpoint where when I've got put a guy on the bench, I don't want him to go off. But that's going to happen if you have Nyheim Hines or a Kenneth Gainwell, and you're going to think, oh, I like this depth. But then it's annoying because the week that you need them, that isn't the week that they have that spike week production. So I'm looking at guys like a Khalil Herbert, like a Ken Walker. I mean, Ken Walker, I was pretty much out on for the most of draft season because he was going so high.
So was I. And now all of a sudden I find drafting him too, because he's fallen so far.
He's just like plummeting down, and he was never going to be like the starter to start the year anyway. So I'm not really concerned about, obviously you're hoping that he's not going to have any lingering effects from the injury, but if he is hurt, then they have no reason to play him. They're going to play Penny till Penny gets hurt, because that's going to happen. And then Kenneth Walker, you know, turn to give him the ball. Like Kenneth Walker is wicked efficient. Like he's a very good running back. I love him coming out of Michigan State. He's super talented. And I think this team just leans on him driving the second stretch. So I'm really looking for guys that can take over bell cow roles on their offenses, and Herbert, Kenneth Walker kind of check off some of those boxes. And then even like a Rashad White too, someone that I think could take a bigger role in Tampa Bay. I thought Rashad White was, his profile was just littered with, you know, pass catching juice. He reminded me of David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell, and Bruce Arians was one of the guys that helped get him on the roster. And he knows what it's like to have a prospect that has shades of those veteran players in a certain player.
I just want to make one point on Nyheim Hines, because he's actually one of my favorite guys this year. Your favorite thing, Joe, is I spoke to their.
I was just going to ask you, what did Frank Reich tell you?
It wasn't Frank. It was Scotty. Okay.
Frank, you're on a first name basis. That's good.
It was Scotty and Marcus, their offense coordinator and the running backs coach. I did a magazine story because, you know, we're still we do magazines, but it's a fun partnership we have with Beckett Sports.
Sure.
But so I did our cover story on Jonathan Taylor, and every question that I asked about Taylor, both those guys kept bringing up Nyheim Hines, and I was like, okay, I get it. You guys like Nyheim Hines. I totally understand, but it's twofold for me with him. And the second part really was, we didn't see until the preseason. But the first part is, you know, you look at his rookie season with Andrew Luck and his 2 years ago with Phillip Rivers, and it was 63 catches both those years. And I do think that he's going to be probably north of 70 catches this year, just based on how they're going to trust Matt Ryan a little bit more than they certainly trusted Carson Wentz. The second part of it, though, is not just his receiving role. We saw in their first preseason game, when they still had Phillip Lindsay on the roster for whatever that's worth, but, you know, they still had their full allotment of backs. He was their guy when they rested Jonathan Taylor. And if he ever gets that opportunity to be their lead rusher on top of being their pass catcher, and it's a stretch because I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't necessarily try and force him into that role, but they seem to love him like that. And if he's going to be the what we say, handcuff, my gosh, imagine with that offensive line and this coach and the role in the passing game. I mean, he could be a difference maker, you know, and I totally get what you're saying, Andrew, about, you know what Khalil Herbert is, you know what Rashad White is, you know, it seems like they're going to be just next man up. And we always kind of put Nyheim Hines in this little, you know, like I would agree with you on Gainwell, because the Eagles sort of told us that if Miles Sanders misses time, it's Boston Scott's role. But we kind of always put this, you know, those kind of pass catching guys just in their own little area of, they're never going to get that feature role. And I would have said the same thing about Hines until I saw that preseason game. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. If he does that, thank you. I'll take it. You know, so he's better full PPR than in half and non, but he's somebody that I just gravitate toward. I just took him. I was actually, you know, kind of waiting out to see how the draft was going to unfold. And I was like, oh, okay. He's my fourth running back. That's fine. I'll buy all day.
There you have it. You also like Zamir White too. I want to reiterate that you were high on him, and he's at number 54, another guy that I was taking a lot of shares of as well. So that's kind of a nice overview of the running back position. Again, if you've got more questions, obviously we're always here to help you, especially on our Discord, which in fact is where our listener mailbag question comes from today. Ironically,
FantasyBros.com/chat. It's free to join. You can hang out on Discord, ask us questions. I'll talk about your teams. We did mock drafts all the last 2 months. I've pulled some of those people into real drafts with me in some other leagues. Some great folks. It's a great community. So join it today at FantasyPros.com/chat. Again, it's free. But when you're a premium member, you get access to the stages, access to the AMA channels with us, and a lot more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
So this question is from Eric_FFB. Kirk Cousins, Christian Kirk, and Ramondre Stevenson for Mahomes and Melvin Gordon in a full PPR. Who wins? Andrew Erickson seems like a lot to give up for Patrick Mahomes, as far as I'm concerned. I'm on the Christian Kirk side of this deal with Kirk Cousins myself. How about you?
Yeah, no, I like Kirk and Ramondre. I mean, I'd rather have Ramondre than Gordon. I'd rather have Kirk than Gordon. And then, look, I get Mahomes is obviously the quarterback he'd prefer over Kirk Cousins, but the quarterback upgrade doesn't move the needle left for the significant downgrade I'm now taking at wide receiver. I'm out of wide receiver and I'm taking a loss at running back in my opinion. So I wouldn't execute this trade
for Josh Allen. I understand it, but how about you, Jamie? When you look at this, is that too much you're giving for Patrick Mahomes?
I don't think so. You know, I still like the other side, but you know, it's still, if he's Patrick Mahomes, you know, I mean, you're getting such a stud and, you know, that's sometimes what you have to do to get those guys, you know, so I would prefer the, you know, I see the upside in Kirk and Stevenson, and I think Cousins is going to have a breakout season. But, you know, we know how fantasy players are. They gravitate toward superstars. And if you want to get those superstars, sometimes you have to overpay.
All right. We want to thank Jamie Eisenberg again for joining us on the show. Follow him on Twitter, of course, at Jamie Eisenberg, and check out the CBS crew. They do fantastic work. They're great to hang out with and talk football. And it's a very entertaining show and informative as well. Plus, lots of Jamie's personal famous friends always drop by, which is cool.
Well, I was.
And I'm not one of them. So
you absolutely are. I posted in the draft room because I'm the commissioner, which is always fun to try and do these, you know, things at the same time. So I had to reset one of my picks. And they said, oh, you know, how you're taking advantage of your commissioner privilege. I said, I'm doing a podcast. And Adam said, I hate when you do podcasts that are not mine.
Adam gets jealous when you spend time with me. I like that. Yeah. Well, then we're ending on a very high note. And of course, another high note too. Don't forget, go to fantasypros.com/contest to get that Jalen Hurts jersey. Thanks to our friends at Pristine Auction. All you have to do is follow us on social media for entries. And of course, you can also give us a podcast review on Apple Podcasts or go to fantasypros.com/reviews. And just like that, that's another entry into the Jalen Hurts jersey giveaway as well. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Wondery. Listen to Fast and Loose F1 on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts, or listen ad-free by subscribing to Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Also, don't forget about FanDuel for new users. We've got a great deal for you over at FanDuel. Sign up today at FanDuel and receive free entry for an NFL contest with a 6-month free subscription to Fantasy Pros by heading to FanDuel.com/FP. Again, that's FanDuel.com/FP. FanDuel, where you can experience season-long wins without the season-long waits. And of course, lastly, Air Medcare Network. Head over to airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros to use the offer code FantasyPros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Jamie Eisenberg and Andrew Erickson, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.